This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has a dream. In his dream, he sees himself going for Umrah, safely making tawaf around the Kaaba with his companions. And he goes and he narrates his dream to the companions. And this was during the sixth year after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come to Medina. Upon hearing this dream, the companions are overjoyed with excitement, because the dream of a Nabi is a true dream. It is revelation, and they understand this. And the people of Mecca have been away from Mecca for 6 years. They want to go and perform Umrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the Miqat of Medina, the place where you enter into Ihram. Him along with 1400 companions make the intention for Umrah. He has 70 camels with him that he's taking for sacrifice. And they're not taking any weapons. except light swords that's in their covers in order for defense purposes. And the Prophet ﷺ makes sure to leave during the month of Dhul-Qi'dah, which is one of the sacred months. Fighting is not allowed. And he encourages the Arabs from the surrounding tribes, the Bedouins, to join him on this journey. All to show the people of Mecca that he's coming for one reason and one reason only, which is to perform Umrah. There is no intention to fight. And the Prophet ﷺ now embarks on this journey. And he sends Bishr ibn Sufyan, one of the companions, he sends him ahead to be his eyes, to go and notice what's happening in Mecca, and to relate to him what's taking place there. And the Arabs who were around Medina, they made excuses as to why they couldn't go with the Prophet ﷺ. Because a year ago, just a little over a year ago, the Battle of the Trench took place. 10,000 of the Meccans with their allied tribes come to Medina. That number was probably more than the people of Medina. They get to Medina, this trench is in front of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives victory to the Muslims. And this is just over a year ago. It's one thing when you're coming to Medina, where you have home field advantage. You can take advantage of the territory that's in front of you. But there's another thing when you're going into hostile territory. And these Bedouins, they understood this, that the Prophet ﷺ is walking into a death trap. That him and his companions, there is no way they're coming back. And the Prophet ﷺ still goes. Bishr comes back and he meets the Prophet ﷺ in a location called Asfan. This is about, let's say, 45 miles outside of Mecca. And he tells the Prophet ﷺ that the Meccans have heard about you coming. And under no circumstances are they going to allow you to go and make Umrah. No chance. They are waiting with their women and their children, and they have leopard skins on, which shows they're ready to battle. And Khalid is waiting just beyond that with his horsemen. You're not going. The Prophet ﷺ consults with his companions. What should we do? They came for Umrah. They don't have weapons. They don't have equipment with them to defend themselves. They have these weak swords that's there. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that, look, we came for the purpose of Umrah. Let's go and fulfill that mission. And if they try to stop us, we'll fight them. So the Prophet ﷺ asked one of the companions that, who can take me in a way that's going to bypass where the Quraysh are? So somebody was able to do that, and they get to Hudaybiyah. And Hudaybiyah is still now outside of Mecca by several miles. As they get to Hudaybiyah, the camel of the Prophet ﷺ, Qaswa, stops and kneels down. And the companions, they say, Khalatil Qaswa. The Qaswa, there's some defect with it. For no reason, it just stopped. And the Prophet ﷺ responds and says that, no, it hasn't. And it is not befitting for it to do so. Rather, the one who stopped the elephant from going has stopped it as well. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prevented Qaswa from continuing this journey. And the Meccans, they know the Prophet ﷺ has bypassed them and he is at Hudaybiyah. And they want to know, what is his intention? Why is he here? What purpose is he here for? And they send Budayl ibn Warqa, who was from a tribe that was neutral, that had relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he comes and he asks him that the Quraysh, they want to know, why are you here? What's your purpose for being here? And he says, we came for Umrah. That's it. You see these camels here that are here, decorated, adorned for sacrifice. And he goes and he narrates this back to the Quraysh, and they say that no way is he going to enter upon us by force. We don't trust him. There is no chance that he's going to enter upon us by force so that the Arabs could talk about it. Because they care about their reputation. What are the people going to think? And they send Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi now. This other person comes in. He goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells him that if you got rid of all these people, all the people of Mecca, you do something that no one before you has done. And if the Meccans got the upper hand over you, I see a bunch of cowards standing in front of you. From different tribes, you guys are not family, they're not going to have your back. And Abu Bakr is insulted. And he says, Umsus Badr al-Lat. A very harsh term, he says, suck on the clitoris of Lat, one of their idols. That we will never abandon and leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now Urma starts to discuss with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the practices of the Arabs, when these delegations would sit and meet and the leaders would converse, they would grab the beard of the other person. And as he's trying to grab the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mughira ibn al-Shu'bah is covered from head to toe in armor. He hits his hand with his sword, with the butt of the sword. Put your hand back before you lose it. And guess who is Mughira? He is the nephew of Urwa. Which shows that the bond of Iman supersedes any other bond. Don't you dare step to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Urwa has no idea that's his nephew. And later on he got to find out that this is his nephew. And obviously he's insulted by it. He goes back to the Meccans and he tells them, I've been with the kings of the world, the Najashis, the Kisras, the Qaisars. I've been with all of them. And I have not seen people so attentive to their leader as the companions of Muhammad are to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anytime he spits, they'll go and grab it and rub it on their bodies. When he makes wudu, they make sure that the water does not touch the ground. They go and collect it. They won't look at him for an extended period of time before they lower their gaze. If he tells them something, they go and act on it right away. And he tells them, look, they've come for a peaceful purpose. They're going to make Umrah, they're going to leave. I think you should let them do it. But they're still not having it. That's not going to happen. He has to come back next year. There's no way he's going to come now and enter upon us by force so that the Arabs can talk about it. That news is not going to spread. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the journey from Medina to Mecca is an 8-day journey. It's not a 14-hour flight. You have a few hours in transit and then you get there. It's an 8-day journey. And they get to Hudaybiyah. Imagine you get to the airport and they tell you you can't come in. Or the flight is delayed. Or you have to wait for a little bit. And you're waiting a few hours. How restless do you get? You, from this long flight, probably didn't sleep in it. Now you get to your destination, you can't enter. People start getting irritated. The companions were there for an extended period of time. It is said they spent 20 days in Hudaybiyah, waiting, are they going to get to make this Umrah or not? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells Umar to go and check the situation in Mecca and tell them about our intentions. Umar tells him that send someone better who is Uthman radiallahu anhu because he has family there, they will listen to him. Uthman goes, they tell him you can make Umrah, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to come. And obviously he declined that offer. And while he's gone for an extended period of time where the news gets to them that he passed away, that they killed him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the oath under the tree, which became known as Bay'atul Ridwan, the pledge of that earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they will not leave their positions and they will fight till they die. Mind you, in a situation where they don't have any equipment. There's nothing with them except weak swords. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran that they were giving the oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Uthman comes back. So they didn't have to go and execute this decision. Then finally, Suhail ibn Amr comes. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, he knew that he's come to negotiate with them. So Suhail is having this discussion with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're negotiating the terms of the truce. The first condition was that you have to go back. You got to go back to Medina and you come back next year to make this Umrah. The other deal was that there's going to be peace between us for 10 years. We're not going to be at war with one another. Another part of it was, if anyone wants to join your ranks, can do so. And any tribe wants to join our ranks, they can do so as well. The other part was that if a Muslim from Mecca leaves to go join you in Medina without the permission of their guardian, you have to send him back. And if someone from your side comes to us, he's not going to go back. The companions are like, that's not a fair deal. How is that fair? That we have to return somebody, but you guys don't. As this is playing out, Abu Jandal comes. He is the son of Suhail, the one talking. He's chained up. He's coming from Mecca on foot in the middle of the desert. Struggles to get all the way there, throws himself in front of the Muslims and tells them, oh Muslims, do you not see my condition? Do not turn me back so that they can test me in my faith. And can you imagine them noticing this situation, what they must feel? The one who was more beloved to them than their own family members, the connection of Iman, what must be going through their minds, their hearts? The same thing when you and I look at our phones and we see the difficult situation that our brothers and sisters face across the world, especially in Gaza, and we can't do anything about it. They felt that, but probably even more because they were there in this situation and they can't do anything. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them that be patient, Abu Jandal, and seek the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a way for you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes and he tells the companions to shave their heads and to sacrifice their animal to get out of the state of ihram. And nobody acts on the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he repeats this 3 times, yet no one does it. Rasulullah is upset. You can see it on his face. He goes in his tent. His wife, Salama, tells him that why don't you start? And he goes and he starts and shaves his hand, slaughters his animal, and then this is when they realize that that's it, it's done. We're not going to be making this Umrah at this time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes, and the companions, they go and they slaughter them. Their animals, they shave their head, and now they're making their way back to Medina. Can you imagine that? 8 days journey, 20 days you're there, and you don't get to fulfill your mission of making Umrah. And on their way back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, or the surah, Surah Al-Fath, Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina, that indeed we have given you a clear cut victory. A victory in this situation that just played out like this, you're going back, victory? Really? The companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, is it truly a victory? And they said, yes. And they understood and they were excited because their perspective shifted to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the reality to them. And they understood the reality of the matter. And mind you, all the things that played out that is described in the surah has not happened yet. But they know the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And they know their shortcomings when it came to their perspective and how they're seeing things. And they understood that all good comes to submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Imam al-Zuhri, he mentioned that this treaty, this conquest, you could say, was the greatest of the conquests for the ones that came before, greater than all of them before. Because what happened now is that the war stopped. And there was peace, because before it was just attacking one another. There was no time to really go and sit and talk and discuss matters. The propaganda was just, these people are evil. We have to go and get rid of them. They're changing the religion of your forefathers. But when things settled, and they were able to discuss, and any intellectual person saw the reality of Islam, could not help but accept this message. And 2 years later, when Quraysh broke their treaty with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the conquest of Mecca happened, 1,400 people are going for Hudaybiyah. 10,000 people went for the conquest of Mecca. In those 2 years after this situation, more people accepted Islam than the 19 years before it. This shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of the situation. And lessons that we can take from this is, the most important one is to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He knows the picture. We have a pixel, He has the entire picture. We submit to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while still being proactive. While doing what we can. Taking the lawful means that's in front of us to show our support, to put the pressure on them, to have a ceasefire, to have dialogue with people to show them the beauty of Islam. The second lesson is to be able to look at the good that's there. We live in a society where there's no principles. You want to be something? Be it, whether it be an animal. And there's so much that you can do about positive thinking and affirmations and say this. But when reality hits and the test comes, most people, they crumble. Their foundation breaks underneath them. And when people see such a difficult situation, what comes out? Alhamdulillah. We'll be okay. Allah's going to take care of us. He's there for us. We talk about faith. The people of Gaza demonstrate it. And people look at this and then, this is different. What's going on here? What is it that gives them that strength to be able to endure and be patient in this difficult situation? And you see people start picking up the Quran. You see people start becoming Muslim, accepting the faith. And even the narrative in the mainstream media, you see it shifting. People start seeing the lies that's being said. Through social media, people are waking up to the reality of the situation. And finally, to pull the lens back. When we look at a situation, we look at it from a lens. We're focused in on it. To pull it back and to look at the entire situation. The entire timeline, where you have this world and then you have eternity. It's not just this world. It's temporary. And then comes eternity. They have made the transition to the Akhirah in the best way possible. Which means eternal rest, bliss, enjoyment is there. And how do we know? Maybe the ones who are still there and going through the hardship, maybe their ticket to Jannah has already been stamped. But you and I, we don't know that. Has our ticket been stamped? Do we know what state we're going to leave this world in? In what situation? Are we going to have La ilaha illallah on our tongues? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us leave this world
in a state of Iman. May he enter us into the highest of Al-Firdaus. May he be with our brothers and sisters who are struggling all over the world. May he be with the people of Gaza. May he send down his mercy upon them. May he grant them Sakina. May he stop this situation. May he be there for the Muslims all over the world. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our shortcomings, for all our sins. May he give us the ability to be better, to be steadfast, and to meet him with La ilaha illallah. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Please turn the lines, close the gaps. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Him we shall return. This is part of our faith. This is part of our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we all believe that we were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a specific person, for a specific reason, and that is to submit to His will and to worship Him. And part of His, submission is the fact that we believe we are here temporarily on earth for a specific mission and message. And a day has to come where we depart this life. And that includes even the messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhim ajma'een. Now, inshallah, we will have a janazah prayer, and just due to the short time that we will have with the third shift, I respectfully ask that I'm going to just give the description of janazah really quick, and we will do the janazah prayer. And if you would please not delay, because we're going to delay it for the janazah, if you can pray your sunnah at home or at work, whatever, so we can have you clear the parking lot as soon as possible, so the third shift, you will not collide into the traffic of the third shift. So Salatul Janazah, the description of it, it's all standing, no ruku', no sujood in it, and it consists of four takbirat. After the first takbira, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. After the second takbira, we recite As-Salatul Ibrahimiyyah, very similar to the dua that you do in your tashahud, toward the end of your tashahud. And then after the third takbira, you make a general, sincere dua for our sister. Her name is Amal, and she's from Libya, and she will be transferred to Libya. So we will only have a prayer, and we will not have a burial. So we're not going to our cemetery. It's only a salah, only a funeral prayer. And after, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive her soul and to accept her among the righteous ones and to elevate her soul among and in the highest ranks of Jannah in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Allahumma Ameen. And then after the fourth takbira, we make a quick dua for the Muslim Ummah and to ourselves for Allah to give us rahmah when we face the same situation. And then we will make taslim, and this will end the janazah prayer. Jazakumullah khair. You can stand up for the prayer now.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to your masjid, today the 8th. Join us tonight in welcoming our resident scholar, Imam Saif Murad, to our community, tonight after Isha. Welcome, Reavers. You're invited to coffee and a chat with the Imam this Sunday, the 10th, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Come to meet other people and get your questions answered. Register via the newsletter. Mark your calendars for an inspiring and impactful weekend at your masjid. Join us for the first Community Impact Weekend, filled with connection, empowerment, and service, all starting next Friday. See the newsletter for more info. Jazakumullahu khairan. Enjoy your week. Wa alaikum assalam.